Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Reaction Monday. We're live at the Hogfish Bar and Grill in Key West on Stock Island. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier is back at the studios. Titans lose to the Washington Commanders 42-19. It was 21-0 at the end of the first quarter and then basically 28-0 shortly after that. We say hello now to former Titans punter Brett Kern, who is on the line with us. Brett, wasn't pretty yesterday. How you doing?
Well, I mean, is it easier to analyze the Titans game from sunny Key West, Florida? I mean, I just had to take my golf clubs out of the garage and keep them in my house because it's getting too cold outside. So, is it better down
yes.
there? Is it easier?
Yeah, it is. It's easier. We got iguanas chasing us around. I mean, we're good. We're living life.
Oh, that's rough. I'm out this morning, you know, scraping the ice off my car with my Costco card. So I think you guys will make it. So
I think we will be fine. What really stood out to you, especially in that first quarter, where they had mistakes compounded other mistakes, and they just simply could not get anything going?
Yeah, I mean, I was curious to see how, you know, Washington would show up. I think last week I was talking about, well, you know, they're just coming off a tough loss. Let's see how they rebound, right? But, you know, Philly was 7-2. They lost a tough one to Pittsburgh, then Philly, and then Dallas. And, you know, they're heading into their bye week. And so, obviously, clearly by how they came out yesterday, they did not want to go into their bye week with four losses. And that's a playoff caliber team, right? And the Titans just came out and just got smacked in the mouth. You know, down early, you know, two turnovers early gave them great field position. And, you know, the next thing you know, by the time they actually started playing some football, it was 28-0, and you know, from that point, you know, you outscore them 19-14, you know, at the end of the game. But I mean, it's just, you know, it's too late. And so yeah, it just wasn't a good showing, and it was just tough to see, tough to watch.
What did your chart tell you, that your stat chart? I'm sure it had some info.
Yeah, it. Well, I mean, they lost all three, so they went 0-3 yesterday. You know, they lost the QBR. Clearly, did not win the rushing battle yesterday. 67-35, and they lost the turnovers. So that's going to give you, you know, a loss. And you know, they also lost in the, obviously in the turnover battle, which, you know, they were down one in the turnovers, which you know, if you're minus one, you only have a 32% chance to win. So. You know, I really, you know, after the game, I was just kind of like, what, you know, without really getting into players specifically, who did this, who did that, you know, I think it's just more collectively for me, you know, comparing the Titans where they're at, especially the two big categories for me are the turnover margin and the penalties, right? And so how does that stack up against the rest of the league? And so I kind of, you know, was just kind of digging around and looking at teams that are, you know, that we consider, you know, a Super Bowl contenders, and teams that are, you know, in the playoffs, but maybe not necessarily contenders. And then you got teams that are, you know, already their guys are already looking at what they're going to do in their offseason vacation plans, right? And so, you know, you look at penalties. You know, the Titans are the worst. Well, Baltimore's got 105, but the Titans have 100. But then you look at teams that are struggling in penalties, like Baltimore, the Texans, Seattle, Packers, Broncos, Steelers. They're all top 10 in penalties, so they have 80-plus. Now, are they good enough to overcome those penalties? I mean, probably, yeah. Are the Titans good enough to overcome their 100, right? Not really. But do we consider any of those teams saying, like, hey, you know, these teams are Super Bowl contending teams, right? Whereas you look at, like, Philly, Buffalo, Kansas City, they're all top 10 in the least amount of penalties. They're in the mid-60s with penalties, right? Now you say, well, what about Detroit? Well, Detroit is 15th, but you know where Detroit is really successful in? Them and the Lions have the least amount of pre-snap penalties with 18, right? You look at the Titans, they have 39. Ooh. So you look at the correlation there. All right, so you have some teams that are pretty good. They're going to be in the playoffs, but the penalties might kind of hold them back a little bit, right? And then you have some teams that are doing really good in penalties, you know, with not getting penalties, right? You look at the Philly, Chiefs, you know, Lions, right? Buffalo, okay? I think we can all agree that those four teams are probably, you know, going to be playing football in late January, potentially February, right? Yeah. So then I look at turnover margin, right? And so 14 teams are in the positive, okay? 11 of those teams are currently in the playoffs with the Rams. I don't know what you want to – I don't know what you guys think about the NFC West and the NFC South, right? You got the Rams, Arizona, Seattle, they're all battling, and then you really have Atlanta and Tampa Bay kind of having a, you know, pillow fight to try to get first place. So 11 of those teams are playoff teams. You have the Saints at plus two, and somehow the Bears are at plus 10 just after firing their coach, which is probably why they fired their coach. They're plus 10, and then you have the Rams at plus three. So I think personally the Rams are low in penalties, and they're plus three in the margin. It wouldn't surprise me at all if they win that division. Now you have 18 teams that are in the negative. Three of those teams are playoff teams. So you have the Chiefs at minus four, but they're also extremely low in penalties. Seattle at minus six and Atlanta at minus six. You have Arizona at minus one and Tampa Bay at minus one. Like I said, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, if I said the Rams with the plus three turnover margin, and I also think Tampa Bay at minus one, they're also pretty low penalties as well. Wouldn't surprise me if Tampa Bay wins that division either. So there's clearly a correlation between the penalties and turnovers, and you just look at the Titans yesterday, you have 12 of them. You know, half of them they were able to overcome, right? You had two penalties on a drive, stupid penalties, extended the drive, but the Commanders miss a field goal, right? So, I mean, you have that kind of stuff. They had two offensive penalties. Somehow the Titans are able to go down, you know, a deep pass on third and long to Ridley. NWI scores a little bit. So they're able to overcome some of the penalties, but not 12 of them, right? this is right. Too much. So I just found it interesting, you know, kind of where the Titans are at and some of the things that, you know, you want to take this team to the next level besides your roster and obviously the moves that you have to make. But a huge thing to look at is turnovers and penalties.
We're talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Brett, I know Jeff Simmons is a friend of yours. You played with him for a couple of years. But yeah. I have a problem with the comment about we were hungover from last week's win at Houston, which affected us on a Sunday. I'm trying to make that work in my mind, Brett, but somehow I don't want to hear that. Does that make sense?
100%. Yeah, I mean, I don't blame you. You know, I know last week was a big game. I know it is because I played, you know, Houston, you know, 13 times, 26 times, right? And so I understand how important that game is. I know how important it is to ownership and how huge it is, especially when you go down to Houston. And it's a big game. It's just, I understand how you feel. I mean, that would, you know, as a fan, that'd probably bother me. But, you know, that's the difference between a team that's, you know, you're looking at, you know, trying to win a division, you know, you want to be talked about in January and, you know, into February, you know, and teams that don't struggle with that kind of thing, you know, and the Titans do. That's why, you know, that comment was made. And the good teams, they're just, it's on to the next team. It's on to the next, who's next on the list? Who are we taking down, right? I mean, you look at Buffalo last night, most teams are like, man, I don't really want to play in that snow. And Buffalo's, I mean, they practiced in it all week, and they went out and completely dominated San Francisco.
Yeah, it's something to watch that game last night. That's happening. Brett, it's kind of funny how the narrative has changed on Will Levis these last couple of weeks, because you see a guy who's battling behind an offensive line that's not very good, receivers dropping passes, yet that dude is kind of still standing in there. And Chase read a stat earlier that Terry McCormick had over a 17-game season, how his stats are, if you just projected that, how good that would be. Your thoughts on him and how this narrative has kind of changed the last few weeks on Will Levis?
Yeah, real quick, it would be, if you know, taking what he did the last 4 weeks over 17 games, 302 of 489, a 61.9 completion percentage, 30 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, 4,080 yards.
Yeah, I mean, that's, gosh, if you could get that during the season, that'd be pretty darn good, right? So I think that all that shows you is like the potential is there. So it's like, how, you know, like yesterday, I think, you know, yeah, there were some drops, there were some throws that were off, right? And so you're gonna have that. And I think sometimes too, you know, I even heard Jason McCourty, you know, on the broadcast, like sometimes he's in the pocket and, you know, he wants to get out. It's more like picking, it's like when you see Mahomes, right? And like Josh Allen, like the pocket's collapsed and you're like, yep, they're toast. And the next thing you know, they find the smallest little sliver and they either run for 15, 20, like what Mahomes did against Carolina last week, or you get Josh Allen that runs and he scores touchdowns, right? Or they somehow, Lamar Jackson, they find this little sliver and you throw it 40 yards downfield to Zay Flowers, right? And I think Will's trying to figure that part of the game out too, because there's some times where, you know, I'm not taking the right angle in the pocket. I could have maybe stepped this way or through this lane to throw to this guy, but instead, you know, he might step backwards and throw it, and then it's kind of an off-target throw. So I think he's starting to learn that too. But, you know, I think the potential's there. I mean, those are some great stats. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of dangerous to maybe think like, oh, this is what he could be over 17 games. Well, he's got to stay healthy for 17 games. That's the biggest part, right? And then the next thing is like, can he produce at that level for 17 games? So that's an encouraging stat. That's also one that could be a little dangerous, thinking like, yep, this is what my quarterback can do, and this is what he can do for 17 games when he hasn't done it yet. So, but I, you know, I think personally over the last 3-4 games, he's definitely played a lot better since he's come back from the break. And I think that's, you know, that's all you can ask for, and that's encouraging to see.
Do you see enough to say, I'm good with him being the guy in 2025? You know, maybe you bring in a stronger backup, you find an insurance policy similar to when Tannehill was brought in, whatever, but that he's the guy going into 2025. Are you confident enough to say that at this point?
I mean, I'll flip it on you guys. Do you think there are greater needs on this team than quarterback?
1,000%.
Yeah, right.
So,
I mean,
I think that
they
I
don't have a right tackle.
Right. I think, too, like, especially where you fall in the draft, and it's not like Jaden Daniels, C.J. Stroud, you know, type quarterback is going to be out there in the draft, right? And so do you really want to spend a first-round pick on a quarterback that you're kind of, yeah, you know, maybe not, when you fall into that cycle again, right, where, you know, you just – to me personally, I think, you know, you got to build. You got to build in the trenches. That's where games are won. You need some O-line, you need some D-line depth, because, you know, like, you got guys that are leaving. Guys are on one-year contracts, all that kind of stuff. And really, you got, what, Big Jeff and Sweat that are kind of your anchors that are going to be there under contract. So there's a lot. There's a lot of pieces that need to be filled. And I just think that, you know, you build your team through the draft. You look what the Bills have done through the draft and where they're at now. And it's just, I don't know, you need other pieces. And so I think why not keep him for 2025? If he keeps playing the way he's playing, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Brett, great stuff. I know you put a lot of research in for today. Really good info, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, you guys, hope you sunscreen up and come back with a good farmer's tan.
We will. No worries about that. Thanks, Brett. Appreciate it.
Take care.